ancient pyramid of Kali Baba, where a fabulous treasure has lay hidden for centuries. A treasure sought by a ruthless sorcerer. A treasure whose incredible mysteries are about to be uncovered.
Jump start my heart!
By six daring adventurers.
I finally found it!
But finding the fortune is only the beginning.
Who's that
guy?
Of a powerful secret.
Me bagpipes.
It's a genie.
That will lead to unbelievable magic.
I wish for the treasure of Kali Baba.
Give it to me.
That will become one unforgettable adventure.
I'd sure like to know where this leads.
It's your favorite DuckTales friends in their first full-length big-screen motion picture. A story filled with excitement.
You better get back here!
Danger. Surprises.
Is there a doctor in the pyramid?
And fun.
That's easy for you to say.
It's a movie so big, so special, so exciting.
Jabooey!
No TV can hold it. DuckTales the Movie, Treasure of the Lost Lamp.
So, for those of you who are completely lost, we are talking about the August 3rd, 1990 Disney release that is known as DuckTales Treasure of the Lost Lamp, I believe is the actual title for it.
Yes.
Or something to that effect. It had something to do with the lost lamp. Now, before we actually get into whether or not you've seen this, whether or not this is your first time watching it, do you know if the TV show spawned the movie, or was the movie what actually kicked off the TV show?
I'm not going to lie to you. I just looked it up because I'm pretty sure the show came first, but I wanted to double check. Yeah, the show started in 1987, and then the movie came out in 1990.
Okay.
Similar to, I want to say, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I think they started in 1987, and the movie came out in 1990.
1990s had some good movies, I'm not going to lie. Some of the best movies that we will be getting into in the next year or so. So, I'm not going to lie, I had never seen this. I was a fan of DuckTales growing up. Well, actually, if it started in 87, I would have been 12. So, I might have been a little bit above their target audience. But I want to say that I watched DuckTales anytime that I could sit down in front of the TV. So
yeah, I don't remember too much about the show. I do remember watching this movie as a kid and enjoying it. And then, like, I guess as technology advanced and stuff, like, I remember them doing the VHS, but I don't think it ever got a DVD release. I may be wrong. I know it definitely didn't get Blu-ray, and it's definitely not on 4K. And it didn't, like, surface again until Disney Plus started and they put it on there. Like, there was, like, no way of really watching this movie for several years.
Well, the sad part is this movie only did $18 million in box office, which is $43 million in today's revenue. So, that might have been a reason why it didn't get anything other than a VHS. I'm trying to look to see. And they had a Disney did do a DVD release, but it was in 2014.
Oh, well, I completely missed that one. But I also wasn't a movie that at that time I was probably looking for. Yeah. I don't do random checks for DuckTales.
But it is available on Disney Plus, which is why we're actually covering it now. And I'm actually glad that I got to see it, because this is going to be one that I got a feeling that the world's youngest podcast host and I will sit down probably in a couple of years, and he'll probably enjoy it, if not before that.
Yeah.
So you watched it when it came out?
What? Yeah, I mean, I was 5 or 6 when it came out. So I remember enjoying it as that age, and then it, like, kind of, like, I remember watching, I think I even had the VHS, and that's one of those things I wish, like, for the collection that I have, that I still had some of those old Disney VHS essence that I used to own. But yeah, like, and then it just kind of, like, it went years without being able to watch it. So this is, like, kind of like, it was like, I remember enjoying it, and then I never got really a chance to revisit it until recently.
So did you see it in the theaters, or was it a Disney Channel, or if that was even a thing back in the 90s?
I think it might. I don't know if I saw it in theaters. We probably saw it at Blockbuster and rented it at Blockbuster. For those of you that don't know that, if you're too young, Blockbuster was a place you used to go rent movies on the weekends, and you either were very excited when they got the movie that you wanted or disappointed when you didn't.
I was actually getting ready to break into kids. For those of you that are not old enough to remember, so thank you for breaking that down for us, Cliff. All right. So you definitely watched it when it was out on VHS, and we both missed the DVD for whatever reason. But now I'm surprised that they waited until 2014 to actually release it on DVD, because I'm trying to rack my brain, which is not working well this week because I'm actually on spring break. So I've pretty much shut off any brain cells that have to do with anything learning. But the new DuckTales that they started back up, was that after 2014, right?
Yeah, I think that was after they started Disney Plus in 2019.
Okay. So, I
may be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that was like a Disney Plus thing that they started.
I wouldn't doubt it. They have so much new content on there that it's every day you're looking at something new that's coming out.
Yeah.
Right. So, the synopsis, which as always comes to us care of Wikipedia, goes a little bit like this. Scrooge McDuck travels to the Middle East to inspect a recently discovered treasure chest. He is certain contains the treasure of the great thief Kali Baba, accompanied by Huey, Dewey, and Louie, Webby, Vanderquack, and Launchpad McQuack. Although initially disappointed when the chest seems to contain only old robes, Scrooge is excited when an ancient treasure map is found in the pocket of an old robe. Guided by the thief Dijon, they set out to find the old lost treasure, unaware that Dijon actually works for the evil sorcerer Murloc, who desires something Kali Baba owned. The group discovers Kali Baba's treasure in a sand-covered pyramid. Webby sees a lamp in the treasure, which Scrooge lets her keep since it does not retain any value. After packing up the treasure for transport, Scrooge and his group are trapped in a room full of monstrous scorpions by Murloc and Dijon, who steal the treasure. However, Murloc discovers that the lamp has been stolen. He drags Dijon with him to locate it. Scrooge and his friends manage to escape from the pyramid, and with nothing more than Webby's lamp, depart for Duckburg. Days later, the children discover that the lamp holds a genie. Ecstatic about his freedom, the genie grants the four children 3 wishes each. To trick Scrooge, he poses as the boy's woodchuck scout friend, Gene. Using the lamp's powers irresponsibly, their wishes include a baby elephant which runs amok through Scrooge's mansion, and a giant ice cream sundae, among other things. Fearful of a bird flying by at night, Gene tells them about Murloc, who uses his wishes for eternal life in the destruction of Atlantis and Pompeii, which were both popular vacation spots. Murloc's magic talisman, which allows him to take various animal forms, also overrides the lamp's rules, granting him unlimited wishes. Kali Baba stole the lamp from Murloc and hid it away with his treasure, and Murloc had spent centuries since searching for it. The children suggest that they wish for the talisman, but Genie says that this is the only wish he is unable to grant. He must prevent Murloc from obtaining the lamp, or the world will suffer. The next day, Webby uses her last wish to bring all her toys to life, which forces the children to reveal Genie's true identity to Scrooge. Wishing to impress the Archaeological Society at their annual ball, Scrooge wishes for the treasure of Kali Baba, and then brings the lamp and Genie with him to the ball. He is followed by Murloc and Dijon, who ambush Scrooge. In the ensuing struggle, Scrooge mistakes the gravy boat for the lamp and leaves the lamp and Genie behind, after which they both fall into the hands of Dijon, who is convinced by Genie to keep the lamp instead of giving it to Murloc. Having wished for Scrooge's fortune, Dijon takes possession of the money bin and other properties and has Scrooge arrested for trespassing. However, Scrooge is immediately bailed out by Launchpad, his nephews, Webby, Miss Beakley, and Duckworth, who agree to help Scrooge set things right. Scrooge, the nephews, and Webby infiltrate the money bin in an attempt to steal the lamp, but are stopped by Murloc, who recovers the lamp. With Genie under his control again, Murloc wishes for Dijon to be turned into a pig for his disloyalty, and then the money bin to become a fortress. which flies into the air above Duffer. When an indignant Scrooge threatens him, Murlock rushes him out of my house, and Genie reluctantly raises the wind to send Scrooge to the edge of the fortress, hanging on for dear life. The nephews use a slingshot to knock the lamp out of Murlock's hands, tossing it to Scrooge, who loses his grip and falls towards the earth. Murlock recovers his talisman and pursues as a griffin, grappling with Scrooge in the air, but Scrooge knocks the talisman from Murlock's hand, turning the sorcerer back to normal as he falls to his death. Recovering the lamp, Scrooge uses his second wish to return himself, his family, and his money bin back to Duckburg. Back in the money bin, Scrooge declares that he has had enough of all this wishing and threatens to use his final wish to bury the lamp where it can never be found again. After Genie and the children protest, he instead wishes for Genie to become a real boy. Without Genie, the lamp disintegrates and crumbles to dust, and thus removing this magic forever. While the children play with their newest friend, Scrooge discovers Dijon, recovered from Murlock's wish, dubbing his trousers with his money. Scrooge chases him outside and down the street while yelling, "Somebody stop those pants." The end.
So, what were your first impressions watching this for the podcast?
I still found entertainment in it. It's definitely one that, as you get older, it might not stick with you as much as like some of the other ones. I remember the one thing that kind of stood out with me the most upon the rewatch is I remember the villain being more menacing as a kid. And then here, like, while he does have menacing moments, he has a lot of times where he gets, I think, like, one point he's, like, changes into a rat. He has the power to change into different animals, and he changes into a rat. And, like, the housekeeper, I can't remember the character's name, like, hits him with a broom or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, kind of like he gets, it's just, like, certain things happen to him that don't happen to other menacing villains that I remember coming out around that time.
Yeah. And
like they didn't do that type of stuff with Jafar or even Ursula, who they probably could have like had a few like bad things happen to her
mm-hmm.
up until like her defeat at the end. But like they just certain things. But like I mean, Christopher Lloyd still does a great job voicing the character, and whenever yes. he's on, he's on.
Yeah, and I didn't even look. We'll go ahead and talk about Christopher Lloyd. I didn't even look to see who was playing the villain until after I heard the voice, and I was like, Doc Brown! And I was like, and then my mind's like, no, that can't be Doc Brown, because he's already done a not Disney from the 80s, so it couldn't possibly. But yeah, Christopher Lloyd is the villain, and as you said, the villain, whose name is Murlock, had the ability to transform into any animal, any bird, any insect, and
the genie even said a dragon at one point.
Yeah. And I honestly wish that I would have kept track of how many different animals he did change into, because there was a bunch of different birds. It was almost like he didn't change into the same bird twice.
Yeah.
And you would have thought that he would have had, like, a set bird for everything that he was doing.
Yeah.
Because for one of them,
like towards the end, he was like a bird humanoid almost. Like
yeah,
during like the final little fight, I guess like he was almost like a griffin or something. Like had human arms and wings.
But as you said, there were a couple of parts where he actually changed into some not so menacing animals. The one that got me the most was when he changed into a cockroach.
Yeah,
to get into the actual into Scrooge's vault. And then Scrooge steps on him, and you would have thought that that would have been the end of him there. But, so the movie itself actually is Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves meets Aladdin meets,
I felt a little like this movie, as ridiculous as it sounds, it kind of felt like part of it influenced a little bit of The Mummy. Like the Brendan Fraser, like the, with the goofy, like kinsman to the main villain, like he felt like that side character in The Mummy too, and there's certain things in that.
Yeah.
But
and then it also had a little bit of the Raiders of the Lost Ark element to it.
Yeah.
Because
the title card alone was Indiana Jones right away.
Yeah. Because when we open the movie, they're somewhere. I didn't write down where. And Launchpad McQuack, who is my second favorite Disney person behind Darkwing Duck, he crashes into some sort of priceless relic that ends up being his landing pad.
Yeah.
And it completely destroys it. And this, I would have thought that would have not endeared Scrooge McDuck to the rat people that were pulling up the treasure that he was trying to get. And this is where I saw the Raiders of the Lost Ark, because he had the people actually pulling it up, and it kind of looked like the Ark of the Covenant when it was pulling it up. And
yeah,
it was Kali Baba's laundry, for lack of a better term. Which one of them had, of course, the treasure map. And the stooge's name is Dijon.
Yeah. They changes the letter to the D on the tower.
Yeah, and I didn't really understand why they had a French name for a Egyptian rat who was a henchman to a man named Murloc.
Yeah.
And so Scrooge opens up the case by destroying what in itself is a priceless artifact, because it's a lock that has Kali Baba's image on it, and he just whacks it like it's nothing. And then he's like, "Well, I'm gonna be giving most of this to museums and things like that." So I'm like, "But you've destroyed like three or four things already that would be worth more than what you're doing." And One of the boys locates the map in one of the old pieces of laundry, and it has another insignia of Kali Baba on it. And Scrooge just tosses that off like it's nothing. And having just finished watching The Last Crusade within the last 2 months, I'm cringing, as I know Junior would have. And so they start looking for this place, and somehow they get camels, and they're looking for Mount Bad Duty, or Mount Bad Dude, which I had to laugh, but I didn't understand. But of course it's Disney, so they're trying to bring the kids in, and they're like, they said duty. And Launchpad Camel trips over the tip of a pyramid. And the next thing that you see, they've dug out the entire pyramid, and I'm like, how long did this take? Are we just supposed
to... Like three shovels.
Yeah, three shovels, and the next thing that
and
you
no
see...
no pile of dirt anywhere.
And the next thing that you see is just completely uncovered, and I'm like, okay, so are we supposed to believe that this took 10 minutes, or was this several weeks of excavation? Or did they call in Bruce Wayne and find out where he got his henchmen that built the Batcave? But, so, I mean, obviously, we're supposed to suspend our disbelief because it's a cartoon.
Yeah.
But it just, it...
That one was a bit far-fetched.
Yeah. And so, the next thing that you see, they're in the pyramid, and they make it over several Last Crusade style traps set by Kali Baba, and unlike in Last Crusade, nobody died, because this is a rated G film. And they finally make it to the treasure, and this is where we find out that Dijon is actually a pickpocket and a thief, because he's constantly trying to get away with some of every treasure that they ever find. And Murloc shows up and absconds with the treasure, with the exception of the lost lamp that holds the genie, who is aptly named Genie.
Yeah, or Gene.
Yeah, or Gene, as he's later known as. And so they get stuck because they burn the rope very quickly and almost burn Scrooge up. And the last thing somehow starts coming down. I think they hit a lever when they were leaving, when Murloc and Dijon were leaving. And it was funny that you actually mentioned that Turtles was released in 87. And then the movie was released in 90 because Launchpad turns over the...
whatever had all the... like the thing that had all the treasure. It wasn't a boat, but they... looks like one.
Yeah. And he says, it's turtle time, and I had to laugh with that. And so somehow they escape and get popped up in the middle of nowhere. And next thing that you see, they're back at Duckburg. And Scrooge is taking calls about some annual ball that was, I don't really know where, whether it was Scotland or whether it was Switzerland or whether it was the outskirts of Duckburg that was heavily snowed.
Yeah, I actually was wondering that myself.
And he said, well, I can't go tell them that I lost the treasure, so I'm not going this year. Because he had gone for the last, what, 20 years or 40 years or something like that. And he says, I'm not going this year because I lost the treasure of Kali Baba and I don't want to be laughed at. And meanwhile, Webby, which was a duck that I was not familiar with, she was like the Oliver of DuckTales, brought in for the cuteness factor. And she pulls out the lamp and starts trying to shine it up real nice. And old Gene shows up and tells them that they each get 3 wishes. Well, no, he doesn't mention the wishes because he doesn't think that anybody knows about them. And of course, the boys are like, well, what about each of our 3 wishes since we're the ones that found you? And he's like, I was hoping that you wouldn't bring that up. And the first wish that gets granted is for a baby elephant, which destroys the library that they're in. And Mrs. Beakley, who's the maid, comes in and sees it and goes down all crazy and yells at Scrooge. And Scrooge comes back up and one of the boys uses his first wish to undo everything that Webby had done, including the destruction of the library. And so they start trying to figure out how to actually use their wishes because they figure out that anything that's a big wish causes a big problem. And somehow we find out that Gene is a very fast reader because he's already read the encyclopedias by the time that we see him again. And he doesn't want to be put back in his lamp. He'd rather be sent to any place, including a house of pancakes. And so somehow Gene gets discovered, I think because he crashed in a closet. And this is where Scrooge finds out that there's a boy named Gene that's one of the boy's friends. And he's staying over for the night.
Yeah.
And next thing that we see is they're out in the forest and they've got all this stuff that I don't know if it was a silver spoons type deal or if they had made the wishes for it. And it comes down to the only 2 wishes that are left are one that Webby had and one that one of the boys had. So I'm like, all right, there was 10 wishes left. There's 2 left. So they made 8 wishes and they got all of this stuff, including the world's largest sundae.
Yeah.
And my brain's just trying to figure out, all right, what did they wish for that took up 7 other wishes? And how did all that come about? But
it had to be the toys that they were playing with, in my opinion. Cause, yeah. I mean, they are living in a mansion, but Scrooge is also very...
miserly.
We'll say frugal?
Yeah. Frugal or miserly is a very good definition for it.
I'm rich, but what can I get for free?
Yeah. And so they go back in, and actually there was only 6 wishes that were actually, or 7 wishes that were actually used, because they come back to the house after dark, and one of the boys wishes that Scrooge doesn't get mad at him.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. And so he's like, what would you like to eat? And they're like, well, we're actually full, but we want to go to bed. And this is where they say that Gene was going to be staying over for the night. And so I guess it's the next morning, and Webby's talking about having a tea party. And Gene thinks that they're talking about the Boston Tea Party.
Which, yeah.
When he finds out that it's just a bunch of stuffed animals and her drinking imaginary tea, he was not happy at all. And so he convinces Webby to change all of her stuffed animals into real animals. And we see that Murloc is outside, and he changes himself into the rat that we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
And
well, before that, though, before they woke up, because they were still in bed, Gene sees a shadow of a bird, and it freaks him out. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing, like, because he's Murloc was a former owner, master genie, and he goes into, like, all these great national, or not national, but great disaster, historical disasters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, he wished for this because somebody made him mad in this little, in the town of Pompeii or something like that. And he describes why he's been alive for however long he's been alive for.
Yeah.
You get a little bit more into the Murloc backstory that we didn't get before.
Yeah, and it's all because of this magical amulet that basically lets him have unlimited wishes whenever it's put on top of the lamp. And
no.
And, of course, we see that come into play later on. So, after Webby wishes her last wish away to have all of her stuffed animals turn real, Murloc creeps in through a window and gets eaten by a stuffed tiger that has come to life. And, meanwhile, they've caused all kinds of havoc and problems and pretty much destroy the mansion. And the boys have to use their last wish to undo everything that's been done, and this is where Scrooge finds out that Gene is actually a genie. And he said one of the weirdest phrases that I've ever heard in a Disney movie, which is, a genie isn't a person, it's a thing.
Yeah.
And I was actually waiting for a little, after hearing him say that, I was expecting them to have the warning that pops up on some of the Disney movies pop up because of that. But so Scrooge is now excited because he's got the lost lamp, and he's going to go to the annual ball with the lamp and with Genie, and is going to show him off to everybody, which Genie's like, well, anything but that, because I don't really, because it'll cause other problems. And this is what he was really worried about. So Launchpad lands the helicopter, doesn't wreck it, which kind of surprises me. And they go inside, and Scrooge tells Genie to shrink himself down to a very small person and sits him in one of the trees.
Yep.
And the next thing that we see, he's got all kinds of snacks up in there and some kind of a beverage, and he's living the life. And he's eating pistachios without opening them.
And it's handfuls, too, not just one. A bunch of shit.
Yeah. And so the moderator calls for everybody to be quiet, and Scrooge has the lamp. And I actually noticed, or I thought I noticed, an indie-like character in the society at that point in time who was on the screen for like a split second.
Yeah, I did not. I mean, that doesn't mean I wasn't there, but I did not notice that. If he was down there that short.
Yeah. And so Murloc has somehow gotten into the ceremonies, and the genie tries to get Scrooge's attention and pulls him off stage. And Murloc and Dijon pretty much trap them in a room, and Murloc turns into a bear. And this is where I actually noted, how many different animals and birds does he actually change into during this movie? Because he actually used like three different birds to get to different parts of the chalet, instead of just changing into one and then changing back. And so Scrooge and Gene shrink down and go inside of the lamp, which kind of surprised me that that was going to happen. And then somehow they come back out without anybody actually rubbing on the lamp, which also kind of surprised, because I didn't think that's how lamps, not that I'm a connoisseur of ancient mystical lamps.
But yeah, unless maybe because Scrooge was a human, they could get back out, I don't know.
Yeah, and so they get out, and they're running away, and Gene is back inside of the lamp, and somehow Scrooge trips over a beverage cart, and there is another lamp that happens to hold gravy, because it's a gravy boat, and he picks up that one, and Dijon gets excited and says, well, now I can turn this over to Master. And Genie's like, well, why would you want to do that if you are the Master and you can do anything that you want to do? And Dijon's eyes get all big and the next thing that you see, he's changed the vault into Dijon's vault, and he's dressed himself up like the Lord of Arabia with his full headgear and everything like that. And Scrooge gets home and realizes that he's got the gravy boat and gets thrown out of his own vault and gets thrown into prison, which I didn't really understand what the charges were that he was brought in on.
I think at that point, since everything belonged to Dijon, it was probably trespassing.
Yeah.
Because he looked up and was like, my name's on the building, and realized, oh, no, it's not.
Yeah. And so Launchpad, Beakley, Duckbill, the boys, and Webby somehow come together and put up enough money to bail Scrooge out. And this is where they tell him that Dijon has everything, including Scrooge's spat collection. Which I have never heard of a spat, but I'm thinking that might be his shoe or his things that go on his feet. I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
And that was the last straw. Obviously, the spat collection meant more to Scrooge than anything else. And so then they start figuring out that there are 14,657 ways to trigger an alarm inside of the vault. And Scrooge knows every single one of them. And so they start coming up with some sort of a way to break into the vault. And I was confused because Scrooge parachutes in.
Yeah. So what he just do... I think he gets in rather easily, too.
Yeah. And that was actually my next note, was after he's parachuted in, he jimmies the back door with his cane, which means it is a pretty shoddy back door. And it doesn't set off any alarms or anything like that. And Murlock has been trailing them. And this is where Murlock changes into a cockroach and gets stepped on by Scrooge.
Stepped on, can't hit the elevator button, yeah. All sorts of...
Yeah, and I'm like, why didn't he change into something else instead of just... instead of staying as a cockroach? Because that's what he's been doing the entire movie. He's changed into different animals and... Or changed back into his... quote-unquote human self. And so regardless, Murlock ends up with the lamp, slaps the amulet on it, and decides to change the vault into a castle that he and the genie had the last time that they were together. Is that what I'm understanding? And
I think so.
What type of castle was that?
I don't know, because it looked... It had spikes. I didn't know how to describe it. I'm sitting and looking at it. It just looks weird.
And somehow Scrooge and the boys are still inside of this. And everything, there is a confrontation. And Scrooge somehow gets the lamp. And both him and Murlock fall off. And Murlock changes into the Griffin character, which was pretty cool, but wasn't...
He gets the lamp because one of the boys throughout the movie, they use marbles to get by, like all the traps and everything. Mm-hmm. Even in the old pyramid, and to get through the traps in the vault. Mm-hmm. And I think one of them hits it with a marble and it hits out of Murlock's hands and falls off after Scrooge fell off the side.
Mm-hmm.
So they're flying through the air. That's how he was able to get it.
Yeah. And so Murlock changes into the Griffin character to go after it, and somehow Scrooge gets the amulet off, and I'm guessing Murlock died, because there wasn't a DuckTales 2 Murlock's Revenge or anything.
Yeah, I think it's the same way with a Great Mouse Detective. Yeah, they fall through a cloud, and you just... Maybe they hit a body of water.
Yeah. And so, after all this, Scrooge gets everything back, and we have Gene end up being changed into a real boy. So we had a little bit of a Pinocchio ending with that. And the movie ends with Scrooge saying, well, what can you do when you're a quadzillionaire? And I was trying to figure out how many zeros is in a quadzillionaire, or if that's even a real figure.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just a reference to a quack zillionaire.
Yeah.
Since they're ducks. Yeah. I don't know.
But that was the movie. It was definitely very enjoyable. It was, like I said, I'm probably going to end up watching it with T or in a couple three years when he's a little bit older and finds all the Disney non-Mickey Mouse stuff on Disney Plus. Because right now it's Mickey Mouse Clubhouse and Bluey are the two things that he's interested in with Disney Plus. So let's get into the three questions, unless you have anything that you wanted to add.
No, I can't really think of anything.
Okay.
Other than, you're right, it does pack a lot in an hour and 15 minute movie. Mm-hmm. It's like, what we just went through is like, it seems like it should be so much longer than it was.
Yeah. Okay. So, the first question is, what is today's impact on the movie? I mean, this is the issue that Kyra and I always run into is technology. If this were made today, it probably wouldn't make it because you'd have Scrooge having his probably ending up finding out about the lamp through social media, and then we'd have a totally different type of movie, and you wouldn't have the boys trying to stage a air and land assault on a vault.
Yeah, much more sophisticated security on that vault.
Yeah.
Than what was in that movie?
I don't think we would have had Dijon be a pickpocket and a thief because, I mean, how much later was Aladdin in this? Like 2-3 years? Somewhere around there?
Yeah, I think it was 92 or 93.
And
it was 92.
And so with Aladdin, we already had a person from the Middle East that was a pickpocket and a thief, and it was putting that part of the world in a bad light. So, I mean, that's where my mind would go to with this. It would be a little bit harder to have a stooge doing all that he did, and every time that you saw him turn, every time that you turned around, he was trying to steal something off the whoever he was, quote unquote, working with.
Yeah, that's why he reminded me of Benny. That's the character's name, Benny from The Mummy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he was. It's the exact same thing he was doing.
So, second question is this mirrored in culture? I mean, obviously, with it pulling from so many different movies that came either before it or after it, it's an amalgamation of, what, do we say 5 or 6 different movies, at least?
Yeah.
That they squeezed into an hour and 15 minutes. And most of those movies are pretty well respected in the world, with the exception of, I think, The Mummy, because Tom Cruise tried to redo that, and that fell flat.
Well, I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking about the 1999.
I know.
Cinema masterpiece. I didn't even know Tom Cruise did one.
Yeah.
Wink, wink.
Okay. I heard about it. I don't know if it ever made it to theaters or not. But so, I mean, the fact that we're talking about this movie 25 years later, kind of, well, despite the fact that that's what this podcast is made to do, but it's not so much that it's mirrored in culture as that it has a lot of good movies squished into it to make it a pretty good movie.
The characters in the movies. Yeah. I mean, this was for a lot of people, DuckTales was a beloved. Like, they put that up there with a Tailspin as far as like those cartoons that you'd be able to watch Disney related. Like, so, I mean, character wise too, you got to go that route.
Finally, how does this fit into today's society, or does it?
I mean, I feel like the greed of Scrooge definitely fits in today's society.
Yeah, I mean, he's somebody that you see, unfortunately, played out in a lot of the actual real world stuff now. So unfortunately, we can't get away from that.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's not too many billionaires that find error in their ways quadzillionaires.
Mm-hmm.
Find the error of their ways and finally get a heart by the end of the story. Yeah. Some of them just stay the path that they're already on.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, speaking of quadzillionaires, Our next movie is actually another Touchstone movie that is available on Disney Plus. It is actually starring Richard Gere and Julia Roberts. And I think I know which one we're talking about, right?
Yeah, The Mothman Prophecies.
I was thinking more along the lines of Runaway Bride.
You're right, Julia Roberts wasn't in Mothman.
Yeah.
Yes.
We are going to be talking about a little movie called Pretty Woman. So this is definitely not a movie that will hold up quite as well as DuckTales for many different reasons. But that is the next movie. It is rated R, I believe, or probably R or PG-13.
By the time it came out, it might have been PG-13, but you never know.
So anyway, this one is one that you do not want to watch with your kids present unless you give them a talking to about what they are about to see. And if so, please write us at bekindrewinddmp@gmail.com. Let us know how that talk went. Cliff, as always, it's fun to have you on. Tell people where they can find you.
Well, I'm on Facebook, Instagram is Cliff Chance. I'm on Letterboxd at Is It Any Good and Twitter at Is It Any Good. And then I have a YouTube channel, which I haven't posted a video for in a while. That is also called Is It Any Good. But Is It Any Good is spelled weird, so just look up Cliff Chance and all those, actually.
Well, until we talk again, as we always do, we tell you to stay safe, stay hungry, and watch out for pyramids that are buried in the sand. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening. You can send us feedback at bekindrewinddmp@gmail.com. We welcome any kind of feedback, and it might get read on the air in a future podcast. Once again, the email address is bekindrewinddmp@gmail.com. If you have a moment, please rate and review our podcast on whatever streaming service you are listening to us on. This and word of mouth are the two ways to help us reach a larger audience. Thank you in advance for doing this. Thank you again for listening, and we hope you have a great day. Goodbye.
Well, at least we have each other. Think of poor Genie. If only there was a way to sneak in and get back the lamp. But there's so many alarms.
Aye, hundreds. And 14,657 ways to trigger them.
And you know each and every one, don't you, Uncle Scrooge?
Aye.
Maybe the way to shut him off?
Aye. Come, lads. Something tells me we should plan a full-scale invasion. Delicious. Delicious? Good. Golly, everything smells more delicious when you're rich. Even me.
Shouldn't we be bird watching?
Don't worry about Murloc. He would not dare to confront the great and powerful Dijon. Anyway, I don't think he knows about me yet.
I've got the bin at 12 o'clock high, Mr. McD. Give or take 10 minutes.
Snuggy enough, sir.
Hey, Duckworth. All right, lads.
Operation Lift the Lamp is about to commence.
Right here, Uncle Scrooge. Over and out. You see anyone coming, Commander Beakley?
I don't think so.
Then wish us luck. Thank you.
I'm on the roof.
And we're inside.
Good. Now all you have to do is break into the security room.
Don't worry. We're almost there.
That's easy for you to say.
Keep going, Webby. If you can't fit through, no one can.
Ta-da!
Atta girl! Hey, here's the alarm panel. I got Uncle Scrooge's directions to keep from getting zapped. Two steps up the middle. One step to the right. Three steps forward. And five steps.
Scrooge.
Good work, lads. I'm going in.